Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
Hi. Oh, hi, Erica.
Hi.
Mark, you're alive.
I am. I'm here. I'm still functioning in the land of the living for a little bit.
For today.
For today, anyway.
For the next 5 to 10 minutes, then we'll see what happens.
We'll see. I'm doing my best.
Together, audio recordings with Mark.
Yep. And now we do have some fun news.
Breaking news.
I don't know if it's breaking news, but it's fun news.
I'm gonna put the music in just because we love it.
All right. But yeah, we have a wonderful excuse me. My goodness, this is crazy. So let me try that again. So maybe I'm not in my best shape, but we do have news of a friend of ours. The Adulting Axolotl has a friend of theirs who is doing a Kickstarter for a comic book about Bigfoot becoming a wrestler.
And wow.
There's
so many things I want to unpack with what you just said.
Exactly. I am so all in on this. It ends literally this coming week. So please, if you get a chance, look up Friday Night Bigfoot issue 1. We'll put the link in the show notes. Dave Gangrel Heath is the creator of this. They're so close to their goal. Punch in a few bucks if you want to see Bigfoot become a wrestler to help a Portland wrestling promoter save his family. Come on.
Closes tomorrow, right, Mark? On the
right. 4th. Yeah. Actually, it's going to be going through December 19th.
Oh, good.
Okay. Got a few days to do this. So get it in there. You know, please, the link is in the show notes. Tell them Erie Travel sent you.
Yes, and shout out to Adulting Axolotl, one of our favorites. You guys should check them out. They definitely have created our favorite needlepoints to put next to your door. May Cocaine Bear destroy this home last.
Yep.
And may Mothman warn us of critical infrastructure failure. And it does say infrastructure failure. So go team. Go team team.
Go team. Yep. And they also have a wonderful Mothman bag that is adorable. So definitely check them out too. But we'll have links to them in the show notes as well. But
awesome. Okay.
It's Friday the 13th.
It is Friday the 13th. And I will say this. It caused me to, you know, we've always heard that the 13th floor, blah, 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 is unlucky. But I actually never looked as to why, because it's not based on the movie Friday the 13th being unlucky.
Oh, no, that's old news by then. Yeah. So,
yes. But Friday the 13th is unlucky. Do you guys know why it's considered unlucky?
I don't think so. I'm sure Mark knows, but
I know a lot of numerology, but, you know, it's there's some stories. Erica, what's your take on this? So
I will say this. I think it's all around religion, right? I'm just going to say religion, but not
as
the same religion,
are.
Ironically. In Norse mythology, the 13th god is Loki, a.k.a. Tom Hiddleston, a.k.a. Hadi Hadi Hadi, a.k.a. not the original Loki. But so in Norse mythology, Loki is the god number 13, who's the trickster who brought chaos and death. And then, you know, we're just going to go with, and I will let everyone put their own thoughts into how this little tribute through history goes, right? But The Knights Templar did a mass arrest on the 13th, Friday, October 13th.
1307. Yeah. Yep.
And then in Christianity, the Last Supper, where Judas was the 13th guest, who, as we all know, betrayed Jesus, who was crucified on that Friday. So,
well, and that's, and then the whole Loki being the 13th god, wasn't the 13th god born. It was just, there was a party and the gods were having a dinner party in Valhalla and Loki was not invited, but he arrived as the 13th guest. And then he arranged for Hur, the god of darkness, to shoot Baldur, the god of joy and gladness, with a mistletoe-tipped arrow.
And this Baldur is all died. Sounding very parallel with each other. It's almost like the Catholic Church took some stuff.
I don't know. But anyway, mistletoe, which we all kiss under, is poisonous to the Norse gods. So there you go. So
is it poisonous in general or just?
Yes.
Yes, very. Hmm.
Mistletoe. So.
I never thought to like lick some mistletoe. So at least I didn't accidentally poison myself.
Yeah.
Well, see, now I'm going to have to. You Google, when did kissing under mistletoe start?
Oh, that's a good question. But, you know, and there's also a lot of, you know, it's in Hispanic countries, it's not Friday the 13th. It's usually Tuesday the 13th is bad luck. But that, I think, goes back to the Greek custom of Ares, the god of war, was, you know, Tuesday was his day. And the fall of Constantinople was on Tuesday, April 13th. So maybe that is it. No one really knows. That's why all these things are very interesting. So
it's subjective, but apparently in Norse mythology, Frigga, the goddess of love, declared anyone who stood under the mistletoe tree would be protected from death and would receive a kiss.
Oh, okay. So there we go.
In the Roman era, mistletoe used to decorate homes and temples in midwinter to please the gods. It was also used to reconcile enemies at war as it represented peace. Mm. And in ancient Greece, the plant associated with fertility and used in the festival of Saturnalia. The kissing tradition began in England between 1720 and 1784 due to a song, and then it increased in popularity due to a publication of Washington Irving's sketchbook in 1820. Mm-hmm. Which showed a couple kissing under the mistletoe.
I like how it grew popular because people love kissing.
Yes. Oh, darn.
Oh, darn. Look at this new tradition. Guess I'll go kiss somebody.
Numerology is amazing. And we should delve into this a little bit. So because
I think we should. But one of the things that I also thought was interesting about the number 13 was it is considered, you know, like, an odd man out because 12 is the most divisible number. So like 12 is good, 13 is bad because it doesn't really divide by anything.
Well, there's a lot of other numbers. Like one of my favorite things about numerology is that every even number that we know so far, which is amazing to me with these fantastic computers we have that can count. Yeah, we still can't count to infinity. You know, we're trying, but we can't. That's the whole point. But every even number is the sum of two prime numbers that we know of so far.
Huh.
Think about that. So that
I don't remember what a prime number even is from school.
A number that's only divisible by itself or one. So
13 is a prime number?
13 is a prime number, yeah. But we haven't been able to, but that's one of those things. It's like, if there is an exception to the rule, it is so far out there, it would take us a lifetime to find it, even with quantum computers and stuff like that. So we're, that's just one of those fun little number things that makes me go, huh. Yeah. And that's, so I'm going to take you guys down a rabbit hole first, if that's okay. Just in case I can't make it through the whole episode. So my bit that the number that drives me crazy is I'm sure you all remember the Jim Carrey movie 23. Did anybody watch this?
No.
Okay. Can you describe the plot of this one?
Right, it's about a man obsessed with the number 23. It's also called the 23 Enigma. Now, this is basically because it's kind of like how people will call you and say, hey, I saw 1111 over and over again. It's angel numbers. I'm seeing, you know, on my clock, on everything. Every time I look at the clock, it's 1111 or something like that. Enigma 23 is very similar to that. So, like, here's some things. Like, each parent contributes 23 chromosomes to the DNA of a child. It takes 23 seconds for the blood to circulate throughout the entire body.
Wow.
The 23rd chromosome determines your birth gender. There are 23 letters in the Latin alphabet. Julius Caesar was stabbed 23 times when he was assassinated. Earth's axis is off by 23.5 degrees.
Uh-oh,
that one doesn't count. Five. That doesn't count because there's a 0.5 on there. Wait.
5 is 2 plus 3.
Oh, shit.
The Knights Templar, we just mentioned them, they had 23 Grand Masters.
William always Shakespeare, or at this time that they're talking about, or is it always 23 grandmasters?
They always had 23 grandmasters from their founding till their destruction. William Shakespeare was born on April 23rd. He died on April 23rd.
Really?
The Egyptian and Sumerian calendars, they all begin on July 23rd. Now here's the big one. You ready for this one?
Maybe.
The Titanic sank on the morning of April 15th. 1912. 4 plus 1 plus 5 plus 1 plus 9 plus 1 plus 2, 23.
I feel like we're trying to solve like Taylor Swift riddles.
Right? You know, this affected Jim Carrey so much, he renamed his company, his production company, JC23 Entertainment.
Did he write the movie or did he just get inspired?
He helped produce it. Because he was so inspired by it. So John Dillinger robbed 26 banks. But only 23 he robbed for money.
What did he rob the other three for?
For fun.
but if he got money out of it, it's still for money.
Kurt Cobain, born 1967. 1 plus 9 plus 6 plus 7, 23.
Okay.
Kurt Cobain died in 1994. 1 plus 9 plus 9 plus 4. 23. Crazy, right?
So crazy.
But with how many people die? I understand it's Kurt Cobain, but how many people die? So,
yeah, I mean, but it's looking for numbers, right? This is the thing. This is how you find this stuff because this really becomes big with William Burroughs, right? He started this fascination with 23. And I don't know if you know who William Burroughs is. He wrote a lot of crazy novels like Naked Lunch and things like that. He got really into this because in 1960, he said that he met this sea captain named Clark, who said he'd never had an accident in 23 years. And later that day, his ship sank, killing him. And then that night, Burroughs was listening to the radio and heard a story about a Flight 23 that crashed in Florida, and it was piloted by a Captain Clark. So he writes a short story called 23 Skidoo. And then he talks to his friend, Robert Anton Wilson, who is this wonderful guy. We will have to do a whole episode on him at some point. Big on hallucinogens and disturbing, strange flights of fantasy and stuff like that. But he wrote a book called The Illuminatus Trilogy about the Illuminati. All right.
Okay.
And in his novels, he finds all these strange assortments of 23 occurring all over the place. Basically, you know, all the way back to this Irish Archbishop James Usher's belief from the 17th century that the world started on October 23rd, 4004 BCE, to the fact that Harpo Marx's birthday was November 23rd in 1888. Yeah. And of course they mentioned the I Ching or the I Ching's hexagram 23, which is the one about destruction, rebirth, all that. So that popularizes it and makes it incredibly popular. Mm. But then it takes on a life of its own, right? It's a fiction thing, but now it's become a real thing because numerologists start realizing that, you know, there's the blend of numbers, right? And two and three is this blend of the energy between 23 is the blend of energies between the numbers two and three, duality, balance, all that for two. And three is creativity, joy, and self-expression. So 23 becomes growth, learning, optimism, everything. It's the joy of the universe and all that. So
wow,
crazy stuff, right? You can go crazy with numbers.
Because
the girl that does the witch tattoos, you know, the witch tattoo I have, the right. Sigil witch, there's numerology in these tattoos. And I actually got a cover up being done right now of a tattoo. And she put numerology into those tattoos because there's a lot of spiritualism with numerology.
Yep.
Does all this count as like synchronicities?
Yeah, it's 100% what that is. I mean, if you start looking into numbers, you're going to find numbers everywhere.
Yeah, because people love patterns and stuff. Right. That's like part of being a human is we love patterns and we love finding relationships between things.
Yeah.
That's why metaphor exists, you know?
Yeah. So there's a fun film. It was a German film. I'm trying to remember, but it is called 23 as well. And it was about hackers who were inspired by Wilson's Illuminatus trilogy and how the number 23 is and everything. And that's what they were using to break codes. Mm. And it got to the point, you know, the guys, who wrote Lost.
Yeah.
They used 23 as a recurring number throughout it just to mess with people. Stuff like that.
Well, I mean, that is definitely weird. Weird number. What about you, Bo? Didn't you go down a rabbit hole with some numbers?
I did. So I decided that I was going to look into the number 666 because I thought that would be cool. Because as someone who likes like the occult and stuff, I wanted to know more about this.
So you're talking about what is considered the mark of the beast, right?
It is. It is. But when I was looking this up, I found out that 666 wasn't the original number.
No.
Like in some translations, it is 666. In other translations, it is 616.
616. Yeah.
666 is only referenced in the New Testament in Revelations.
And that's in the King James and later versions.
Often it does refer to this beast, but I found that it comes up in multiple instances, just not in reference to the beast. For example, 666 talents or weights of gold is what Solomon collected. And Solomon is disregarding God's law by exploiting the people and amassing great wealth. And that goes against, you know, goodness. So it's referring to the beast.
So Solomon, like of Solomon's mines.
Yes. The richest king ever, supposedly.
There's references in like biblical study that the parts written about Solomon occurred first. And then the 666 referring to the beast came because of Solomon.
Okay. Okay.
So then I decided to look at Revelations. And it's Revelations 12. And this is the most of the Bible that I've read in my whole life. So I tried to decipher it. And it's kind of confusing because there's multiple characters that come up in this one verse. So Revelations 13, which is, you know, is a number we've talked about already. Or no. Yeah. 13 refers to a beast with 10 horns, with 10 crowns, 7 heads. I'm assuming not all of them have horns or only have one horn. And each head had a blasphemous name. And I couldn't find what a blasphemous name would be. Mark, do you happen to know?
They're all named after demon creatures, devils, stuff like that. So, they're just trying not to say the names.
Because, oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. The Key of Solomon is the lost, one of the lost books of the Bible that may or may not be a fictitious thing. But it's supposedly where Solomon the king had a ring that he could summon and banish demons at will. And he wrote down the names of all the demons and who they commanded and all that. And so they had the three-headed beast was the name of the names of demons. And so it was one more of those things. We don't want that in the book. And so when the King James came out, they cut the Book of Solomon. They cut a lot of things. So it's.
And that makes sense with some research I'm doing for a future episode in a couple weeks, that they like the demon Beelzebub, that's not its name. That's like a funny version of its name because they didn't want to write out.
They didn't go by the major names. That's why we can say things like Astaroth, Azrael, Beelzebub, Lucifer. Those are not their proper names, as the Key of Solomon would say their proper names. That's what they say is the reason they censor it. A lot of reasons is because it talks about magic. It talks about dinosaurs. Yeah. It talks about things that we weren't allowed to talk about in religion.
Yeah. So besides the beast's 10 horns and 7 heads, it resembles a leopard with feet like a bear and a mouth like a lion. Because you know the Bible loves a chimera. And it gets its power from a dragon. And of course, this made me think of the Thomas Harris book, The Red Dragon. Which also kind of relates to this because the dragon in the Bible is Satan, which I thought was an interesting like connection. There's a second beast too, who it has 2 horns like a lamb and the voice of a dragon. So there's another dragon connection. And this beast made the people worship the first beast. It seems like a lot of the things the beasts do to the people are making them break the Ten Commandments. Like idolatry. So like they would create idols of the beast instead of, you know, worshiping God.
Right.
And then those people wore the mark of the beast on their foreheads or right hands. And of course the mark of the beast is 666, much like in the movie, The Omen.
But is it upside down or right side up?
It does not say.
Because I've always seen like the mark of the beast and then it's upside down. Which really
like a circle. Or like a circle with a loop of the 6 in the center. Like,
oh yeah.
I think in like the original Omen, it's like in his hair, like on his scalp. The last fact I found in Revelations is that the beast, that because there's 2 beasts, the first represents a coalition of nations for power. Like this is why like the apocalypse occurs. Is that nations are trying to get power. And then the second beast is one individual figurehead that sort of takes control from there. And then the beasts rule the world for 3.5 years. And then it's thrown into a lake of fire by the Lord. So that's kind of how Revelations end. Like it's an apocalyptic vision, but then we are saved by God. And that's kind of all I found relating to 666 or 616, if you're being pedantic.
Well, if we're going to stick with Christianity, Psalm 23, back to 23, is the whole Lord is my shepherd. Well, all right, so I got one more odd number one.
Well, hold on, though, because I want to go back to a little something.
Okay.
On what I think is interesting, and this ties back to my number, and then we can go into your number, which is when we're looking at, like, some people don't want things that say 666. Like, I know somebody who got a license plate because it just randomly generates numbers, for instance, in Florida. It's like 3 letters, 3 numbers, and it said 666, and they sent it back because they didn't want to have the number. Like, people have a thing with what are considered lucky numbers and unlucky numbers, right? So Friday the 13th, it's kind of goes back to me, like, they you know, there are a lot of buildings that didn't, and still to this day, don't have a 13th floor, right?
Yeah.
What's ironic about that is that they do have a 13th floor, but they just don't put the 13th number on the floor.
Yeah.
There are, like, if it's a 26-story building, somewhere in there is number 13, just not labeled, right?
It's like, not like it's held up by stanchions, like, in the middle, and there's just an empty space.
It's not like it skips that floor, and then we're on to other things, which I think is so interesting when it comes to putting intention behind what something means. Because, like, this happened for a long time. Well, for a while, there weren't 13-floor buildings. Like, the, you know, skyscrapers started happening later. But what I think is weird is, like, the Empire State Building did have 13 floors. That building's been around for a while. Yeah. Some of the older buildings legitimately had 13 floors that were labeled 13 floors.
Yeah.
Mm.
But there was a lot of around these 13th floor buildings. Well,
you know, people who live on the 14th floor on those buildings that go 12, 14, where there's no 13th floor, you're like, you're still living on the 13th floor. Loki is not going to come avoid you just because you don't have the number 13 on your door. Well,
you know? That's what I think is interesting, because you hear about Friday the 13th and then all this weird stuff happens on Friday the 13th. And you could go, oh, you're just seeing it because you think it's Friday the 13th. But as somebody who did HR for almost 30 years, I can tell you, for whatever reason, employees act weird on Friday the 13th. Like, weird crap would happen.
Talk to a guy who was a professor of phobias, you know, studied phobias and stuff like that. I'm like, I want that job. I want to be a professor of phobias. One of the things he talks about when he was treating people, because he was a therapist before then, was people who were obsessed with numbers would come to him, and some people would genuinely look for these numbers, like the Jim Carrey in the number 23 movie, where he's just constantly finding connections to the number 23. And what his first thing with them would be, stop. We got to teach you how to stop doing this. But then there were other people who were avoiding it, like avoiding 13, avoiding 666. And then his first thing with them was teach them, find it. You'll see it's everywhere. And that's just it.
Like
that's
exposure therapy.
Exactly. And so it's, these things are everywhere if you look for them. And then you'll, if you're trying to avoid them, guess what? You can't. They're all over the place. But,
And that's what's, it's interesting to me, because I think to the point you just said is, like, is there something attached to numbers and numerology and intention and stuff? And then is there us just putting that intention into those numbers? Like, Mark, right now, not everybody's going to see this because we're doing it. You're wearing a Dungeons and Dragons shirt. And we talked on the previous episode because Bo was asking about a fumble roll. Right. So we put a number saying the 20 is the best, which is what's called a critical success. Yeah. And a one on a D20, which is a die with 20 sides, is a critical failure. Well, we've associated that importance to it. So now anybody who plays Dungeons and Dragons, when we see a one, we automatically go critical failure. Like, we don't go, oh, that's just a one. We've
which
already
associated it. Because in, like, other contexts, a one is like, you're in first place.
Right. There was, in one of the, in percentile dice, you know, you're trying to roll out of 100, the lower numbers, the better, right? You have a 99% chance of success. Anything under 99 is great. You roll 100, you're terrible. 001 was always the best you could roll. And there's some role-playing games and some games where rolling low is great, right? You always want that double one, snake eyes. And things like that. So that happens too. So it's in context, right?
It's the significance of whoever is portraying it.
We invented numbers to make sense of the world, right? That's why humanity did what we did with numbers. I mean, not that saying bad things about the animals, but animals haven't done numbers yet.
That we know of.
You know, who knows? Dolphins, maybe. But one of the reasons why, you know, we have 60 minutes, everything was divisible by 12s for the longest time. And people get, why did we do 12? Right? We've got five fingers on each hand. It should be tens, right? Everything's tens. But the
12
reason,
can be divided every which way but loose.
No, but the reason we did it 12s is if you take away your thumbs and you got your fingers, four fingers on each hand, look how many knuckles there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's why we did 12s. So you do that 12, 24, 36. That's why there's 360 degrees in a circle. That's why there's 60 minutes in an hour. That's why there's 12 hours in a day. Why isn't it 10 hours in a day? Why isn't it, you know, because that's what we did. We looked at our fingers and went, oh, hey, this is what we can do. We can count easy like this. And that's when we start making numbers and stuff. It took us forever to figure out zero, not having a number. Mm-hmm. And when we have one, then suddenly we needed two. And then when there was progression, 3, 4, 5, and we still don't know the end. And then we had to come up with the number infinity.
Well, Mark, I have to come up with a break, and yes, we'll be right back after this messages from our delightful sponsors.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Destiny Beer. Lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
Was that 23 seconds?
Did we have two or
three commercials?
Mark, you had one more number for us, though, didn't you?
I have one more. This is an oddball one. This one comes about, I love that there's a history behind this one. There is one that I was fascinated on back in the day. It would pop up in movies. It would pop up occasionally. And it was this old saying called unlucky third, right? Or also known as three on a match.
Okay. I've never heard this. Bo, have you ever heard this? No? No? Okay.
Absolutely not. This seems weird.
Okay.
This seems like a Mark thing. So here we go down a Mark's speed rabbit hole. Let's go.
All right. All right. So there are some people who said it goes way back to 1916, that there was a novel called The Wonderful Year, and it was a Russian funeral in it. And there a Russian funeral ritual in which three altar candles are lit by the same taper. And if you use this to illuminate worldly things like cigars or cigarettes, it is regarded as an act of impiety and therefore unlucky. That's a theory behind this superstition that was common in World War I, World War II, started in the Crimean War and went all the way through. So that's where somebody says this comes from. And then there's actually a Mexican superstition that predates it, which goes way back to 1894. And it says, if three men light cigarillos from the same match, bad luck will overtake one of them. Right. And no one really knows where that comes from, except for this article in an old newspaper in Texas from the 1890s. But it was really common in the First World War. And it actually comes from a 1919 Grand Rapids Ledger wrote a thing, was, why are we superstitious? Three on a match, black cat crossing the road in front of us, or looking over the left moon of the at the shoulder. You know, has anyone actually experienced bad luck in this, right? And that's what, where did that article come from, right? But the real story goes that it was a Crimean War thing. And what it was...
What is the Crimean War?
Okay, Crimean War was... we're in Crimea right now, thanks to Ukraine, right? Ukraine and Russia are fighting over the same territory. It's this... It's the only Baltic port that is worth a damn to the Black Sea and getting out into the ocean. So it's the only thing that keeps Asia getting into the Atlantic and into the Mediterranean and all that. So without that, you're landlocked. You can only go to the Pacific. You got to go through China. You got to go through all that. Or what now, where they go all the way up to the Bering Straits and all that. And that's why they kind of want Alaska. But Crimea was very important. So this was an area that was under several battles over history. But this was also one of the first battles with snipers.
What?
All right. So
I know where we're going, I think. Yeah. Okay,
so snipers was a thing. The term sniper comes from snipe hunts, which we've discussed. The snipe, which is actually a small bird in England. And if you could hit it on the run, you were a sniper. You were a good thing. And that became the term for an excellent shot. Now, three on a match means you're in your trench, right? This is the first war with trenches. So because now guns can shoot a lot further than they could. Up until this point, everybody just stood in a line next to each other and marched real slowly at the other guys.
With their fingers crossed.
It would be the other guys that got killed. And then other guys would jump up and stand next to you so you could march up. And then you'd charge in and break through the line so you could gain that 2 inches of ground. That was so important. But this was kind of the first one using snipers. And so late at night, you'd be in your trench. It's cold night. You're trying to stay warm. You light a match to light your cigarette. Okay. The sniper sees the flame. You light your buddy's cigarette because he's tired. The sniper's taking aim. You hand it to the third buddy. He lights his match. The sniper's going to shoot because he's had time to aim. So the third guy is very unlucky. So that's why...
That would be an unlucky position in the exact scenario.
Yes. So that's where the term throw in a match, we think, actually comes from.
And this is why smoking kills. No, yeah.
But it's also why you don't light three fires with the same torch. Because by that time, that tight torch guy has gotten to the third lookout post.
He's about to get shot in the head.
Plenty of time to zone in on that guy.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But I always wondered, well, if he lit the fire, he's still got the first target still in his sights. So that's why
maybe they said it was like so fast, you know, because you light it and then you extinguish it so fast that he wouldn't have time.
Well, he might not even notice. Stay lit that long. I mean, the tapers that you use in church are very long in comparison to, you know, being in a foxhole and lighting a match. So I would assume you'd have very short window of time.
And now what's funny about it is the wonderful show Mad Men
came
up with a better theory.
Oh.
They said that this guy who came up with it was a great way of selling more matches.
Clever girl.
And now, for those of us Stephen King fans, there's a scene in Chapter 7 where the stutterer, Bill, is stopping Richie from writing a third cigarette from the same match, saying, three on a match. Bad luck.
Wow. Right? Did you know that, Bo, Stephen King fan?
I did not remember that, no. But then I was just thinking about 1408, and I tried to add those up to see if it was 23, but it's only 21.
It's only 21.
Missed opportunity there.
I know, yeah. Stephen. What the hell?
Yeah. But there may be other ways to make it 23. So that's the problem with these things. It's like, so, well, let's see. 4 times 8 is 32. And minus, no, I'm not gonna get that. That's how you get. That's where you start getting into that crazy stuff. And like I said, then you start finding it, right?
Yeah.
And that's when you find
it. Because you're looking for it. You can find anything if you look hard enough.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I like the idea of that was just a way to sell more matches.
There is one number we haven't discussed, which is the number, though.
The number. What is the number?
It's the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Yes. 42.
42.
Which you get when you multiply 5 by 7. Then we ran out of Scrabble letters.
So. I always thought that was interesting. And so for travelers, for those of you don't know what that is, it's from Douglas Adams, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. There's a giant computer that is created off of a planet to come up with the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And the computer comes up with the answer 42. But it's because we didn't ask it a very specific question.
Yeah. So it just like spit out anything at that point.
It's been 10 and a half million years computing and calculating. And it's, you know, because they ask it the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. And in the end, it announces the answer is 42. And they go, well, he's like, I think the problem is you don't know what the question is.
Mm.
So they have to build a bigger, even more powerful computer to figure out the question. And that computer will be called the Earth, and where organic life is actually part of its programming and stuff like that.
Then it gets blown up to make space for a hyperspace bypass.
Just before the critical moment of readout. But the real reason why 42 was that, do you know the reason because why Douglas Adams chose 42?
No.
Okay. Because he's a big computer nerd, right? Douglas Adams, one of our favorite writers of all time. In ASCII language, you know, the computer programming language, ASCII, 42 is the asterisk, which in computer means whatever you want it to be. So the meaning of life is whatever you want it to be. Douglas's genius knows no bounds.
I would say for our travelers on this Friday the 13th,
yeah,
maybe grab a lottery ticket with your lucky numbers and include 42, 13, 6, 6, 6, or 36, or 3,
or 20,
30. And throw your favorite numbers in there. And if you win the lottery, don't forget your great friends here at Erie Travels.
I was going to say, throw us a few bucks. We could
use our Patreon numbers would love to have you. So, so what fun, gang. Thank you so much for going on this. It's Friday the 13th. Get out there. Watch a Jason Voorhees movie. Or download and watch that amazing series, Friday the 13th, the series that we were discussing recently. Mm-hmm. Which has nothing to do with the Jason Voorhees movies, but is about people who buy a cursed antique shop and have to find all the cursed items that have sold there. It's very, very cool. But, or watch a Jim Carrey movie, number 23. That's a good one. Or watch some Douglas Adams. We'd be happy. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is available as a radio show, as a TV show, as a movie. It's all over the place. All good stuff. We love numbers. And then get out there and definitely please pledge for that Bigfoot wrestler comic. We want that one so bad.
pledge. We need to see the equivalent of Macho Man Randy Savage in Bigfoot form.
We need a sequel issue where he fights Mothman Randy Savage, which would be fantastic.
So, let's support Adulting Axolotl. And with that, Mark, and our weird numbers, and since we're in creepy Friday the 13th, take us away.
All right, gang. Thank you all so much for joining us. As always, travelers, thanks for putting up with us. Thank you so much to our patrons. We do love you. And any new ones, join us, please. You can find us on Discord, find us on all the other things. We love you reaching out to us via social medias and all that. Please like, share, and subscribe as we... I'm terrible at this. I don't know why you guys always make...
You're doing a great job.
Anyway, while you're out there on this Friday the 13th, make sure you don't step under any ladders. you know, if you do see a black cat, give it a nice pet. And when you're looking at the numbers of that destination you're going to, add them up and see what they turn into. And then when you're lighting your friends' pipes and cigarettes, make sure you avoid three on a match. And then if you get Order 66, kill those damn Jedi, and we'll see you on the other side.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.